Market Music with Fairbairn and Russell.
Hello and welcome to the Market Musings podcast, where today we welcome Phil Jones, who is a private investor. Now, Phil, I remember very clearly, actually, the very first time I met you. I don't know if you remember it as clearly as I do, but I remember the year, I remember the hotel, I remember the location. It was 2016, it was the Marriott. I forget the actual name of the location, but it was somewhere around Birmingham. Yes, and it was a special... special one for me. It was my first real investor event. And of course, around that time, that everyone, the sort of common theme for everyone involved in that event was actually Metal Tiger. And of course, you know, we were all expecting Metal Tiger to be at that event doing doing a presentation. But of course, hours before, the bombshell was dropped, and everyone was a bit surprised. They didn't know what to do. So it was it was my first one, but it was a bit of a strange one. But do you remember it as clearly as me?
I do. Yeah. Hiya, Mark. Hiya, Kenny. Yes, I do. I think it was the Forest Arden or Arden
that's
Forest.
Forest Arden. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was my first one as well.
There we go. Yeah. Kenny, I don't think you were there, were you, on that one?
No, I wasn't. No, but I have, mate. Phil, apparently, although I can't remember much about it.
Yes, it was in Manchester, Kenny, yeah.
Yeah, that was right. But the problem that day was we got down there too early. See, I'm unlike Mark, who's always late for these podcasts. I'm always early. And I think the first beer had been cracked before midday. So, and then by the time we arrived, that was the same night that Neil Lennon was sitting down in reception.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he was. That's right, yeah.
So I decided I was going to go and buy him a pint and have a wee chat with him. His boy actually plays at the same age group as my own boy at football, and albeit there at a particular time, there was a division above. So it was actually about 2 days before I got named the Celtic manager. So that was a good chat.
Yeah, I remember
I'm a Celtic fan, and I didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
I actually missed most of the Panther Metals presentation. I couldn't drag myself away.
Really? Well, it's funny because I was talking to Darren Hazelwood prior to the event kicking off, and suddenly he lost interest in me completely, and he was just like, "Is that Neil Lennon?" I was like, I've no idea who that is, Darren. It's like, oh, he's your manager. I'm not a football guy, Darren. And he completely lost interest in me and went off and talked to this guy.
Oh, so that's why you talked to me then, Mark, is it? Second choice, was I? Oh, right.
But I remember that event as well. I remember you were there as well. Yeah.
Yes, I had my good lady with me, yeah.
That's right.
I vaguely remember it, Phil, but like I say, I was a bit worse for drinking. And usually I would have a drink in my hand on a Friday night, but I'm off the booze just now. This is 2 weeks I've been off the booze.
So, well, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any option. I was just getting... I was already big and fat, but I was getting bigger and fatter. So, I do remember the chat. There was two Welsh guys there, so... There we go. So that's good. It's great to have you on, Phil. And as Mark already said, we do like to get private investors on from all walks of life and all sizes of portfolios, and you know, the good, the bad, and ugly, if you want to call it that. You can decide what category you fit into.
I'll go for the latter. Yeah.
Okay. it's good to hear people's story, and you know, especially if it's been an interesting journey. And we're not just talking about investing. I mean, you can tell us a bit about yourself, you know, what you've done, career-wise, where you grew up, school life. Yeah. You know, it's really up to you. So it's
I'll start off with that, and then get on to the interesting stuff if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm from Connors Quay in North Wales. Mm-hmm. Which is about 8 miles from Chester, mm-hmm. and about 20 minutes from the castle.
Okay.
I'm a celebrity.
Yeah.
My family all worked in shop and steelworks. My dad was a crane driver. Three uncles, two brothers worked there. My other granddad. Mm-hmm. My other granddad was a coal miner at the age of 14. And I went to a nice school called Conisky High School. Mm-hmm. I got five O-levels, left there in 1978. And then I went on to college for 2 years to do business studies. Mm-hmm. To pay for that at 16, I went working in a local discotheque.
Okay.
You won't remember them, Mark. They had midget balls up in the ceiling. And there was a cabaret club there, worked in there, collecting glasses and wine waiting.
Yeah.
And they also had bands on at the venue. It was an ice rink and they put a carpet down and they'd have bands come. So they asked me to organise the lads to come and put the equipment on the stage. Mm-hmm. So we had The Who there, The Jam, Police, Blondie, The Clash, Madness, Jasper Carrot. Mm-hmm. And then when I finished college in 1980, I went to work for the builder, a local builder. It was just a small building company employing about 25 people. And I'm still there now, 40 years on.
Wow.
Yeah,
that covers your career in quite an easy sort of 5 minutes. Usually, I mean, my story is quite complicated. You know, I mean, I've jumped about. I've never seemed to get beyond sort of, you know, 7 or 8 years in the one job.
Yeah,
7 year itch or whatever it is. But that's impressive. So I'm just working out what age you are. So that you say that's almost 40 years.
41
this year, next year. So, yeah. It's a dying breed nowadays. I mean, it used to be, you know, remember my dad's generation and then your grandparents' generation, you know, the people just had the one job and that was it. They just accepted it. And
But
now,
I'm 58, Kenny.
Yeah, well, you're not going to change now, I suppose, are you?
No.
You're still not doing the same job as you started, though. Tell me you've progressed or you've diversified or at least went.
I started working as a clerk typist, if you like, in the office, and then as people retired, I started doing jobs out on site. And now I'm sort of an hour in the office, 8 hours doing physical work. So it's sort of changed in that direction because it's just two of us now.
All right.
74-year-old boss and me.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Yeah, and then subcontractors when we can't do certain things, you know. So that's changed quite a lot, really. But when I started working there was a bench joiner who he got me into the shares. He always spoke about them and how well he was doing. And he bought the Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. And in them days, he either looked at teletext at night when you got home, or you looked at the Daily Mail or the Financial Times the next day. And that's how you knew how you were getting on.
Yeah, the youngsters don't know how easy they've got it. They even moan nowadays about having to pick up the phone. I'm not picking up the phone to do a trade. Or I can't have that. No, there's got to be. I suppose I'm lazy as well. I mean, you want to do everything online, but if I've got to pick up the phone, I pick up the phone. It doesn't bother me, but no, it seems like a lifetime ago, but it's not really. Things have advanced so much, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but he bought the Daily Mail and I bought the Daily Mirror, and the less said about the Daily Mirror's share tipping, the better, I suppose. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So he then got me into the shares, and it was 1986 I bought my first shares. It was British Gas. Do you remember when they floated?
Oh, yeah, with Sid, don't tell Sid. Is that right? Yeah. With the advert, I think.
Yeah, so I got the minimum amount, which I think was £135 worth.
Okay.
And from there, I sort of needed the money in the future, so I sold them. I got married in 1982, I think, something like that. Got divorced 25 years later. And I bought my first mining shares in Xstrata. I got 200 shares at £16 a share. Mm-hmm. And I sold them for £48.
Right.
And I thought, Yeah, and I thought this, £48 each that was, by the way.
Yeah.
So I thought, this is easy money. Mm. I'll do a bit of trading. But I didn't do too good, to be honest.
Mm.
I partied for a few years and spent and spent and spent, and eventually I filed for bankruptcy in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I went through that, I took on the job taxi driving. So I held down my 8 till 5 building job and worked as a taxi driver Tuesday night, 6 till 3 in the morning, and Friday and Saturday night, 6 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning. Wow. And then I sort of tried to get myself together a bit and rebuild my life.
Yeah.
Then I was fortunate enough to meet the beautiful Alexandra, who you've met.
Uh-huh.
She came to the Birmingham Hotel with me.
Mm-hmm.
And together with the daughters, Roxy and Shan, she got me on the straight and narrow. For the first time in my life, I was calm and enjoyed life. So that's when I started to have a bit more time in my life, and I thought the pension funds I was in were making a mess of things, so I'd take it on myself and opened up a SIP and a stocks and shares ISA. But I hadn't prepared myself for the pitfalls of the AIM market.
Mm-hmm.
I went on all the LSE forums and invested really badly, believing what people, the comments they put on there, not realizing there's rampers, derampers, and what have we.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to me investing in a company called Tower Resources.
TRP.
Don't know if you remember them.
Yeah, that's a TRP, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put £17,000 into them.
Okay.
And woke up on, I think it was the 13th of June. And I'd actually, 13th of June 2014, read the RNS at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was a duster. I lost £14,000 immediately.
Gosh.
Yeah, in one hit. So, as everyone did, panic sold as soon as I could, 8 o'clock. And I bought £3,000 worth of Mossman oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
That went up, I think it was 370%.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled some money back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've kept some Tower Resources shares in my portfolio as a reminder, and they're 99.97% down.
Yeah.
So it was a good lesson to learn, but I'd also made another couple of mistakes. I bought Regency Mining and I'm now 99.07% down.
Okay.
And I've got I bought into 9 companies that are no longer trading.
9 that are no longer trading. Okay. Yeah. Kenny, what's your record on that?
I've lost count. There's still 3 or 4 hanging about in my SIP at the moment. There was two cleared a couple of weeks ago, bizarrely enough. And I don't know. It happens. Listen, there's nobody. Well, I'm not saying there's nobody. If you can do this game, 15, 20 years, there's no day to escape in a suspension or a duster. Disaster. Everybody gets tarnished with it, and if they tell you anything else, they're lying to them. People might escape it if you're just trading maybe in blue chip stocks, you might get away with it. But even then, when you think about the banks, what happened to them back in the 2008, 9, whatever, round about then. I mean, that was almost like a duster for them. They just went absolutely tits up. So, nothing really.
They were deemed as safe as well, weren't they?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember RBS at 10 pence, and I actually bought some for my mum that particular time. I can't remember. I was sip rich, cash poor. And my mum had some money, and she said, would you recommend this? Is RBS, it was about 10 pence. And I remember bought them, showed her, it was in Hargreaves Lansdown, showed her the search, kept it. And I think, I can't remember, not 23, 24 pence, sold them, and she just gave me the money. you know. So I was like, okay, that's a good moment. She wouldn't take it back. So. But no, I can, 10 pence. I don't even know what RBS is at now. I have no idea. I don't even keep a tab on it. But
what was it like then, Phil, just going back a little bit, being declared bankrupt? I mean, what led to that? Was it just a certain point in your life? And is it like...
It was more the divorce and sort of trying to keep the family in the home they were in and stuff like that. So a lot of outgoings.
Yeah.
Okay. And that to kind of place myself. And in the end, it got too much. And then when I went... I knew I was going bankrupt. I sort of rebelled and partied a bit, you know.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's it actually like being bankrupt then? Because that's an official status.
When the judge actually signed the documents and said you're doing the right thing and there's no stigma attached. There was stigma. Yeah.
Right.
There was when you went to open the bank account, you couldn't.
Right,
I'd kept the bank I was with, and it was difficult. The questions they'd say was, "Have you been bankrupt in the last so many years, or have you ever been bankrupt?" And you have to answer it honestly. And there was a lot of stigma. I couldn't open accounts up; credit cards were difficult, and it's just a matter of getting your credit score back up.
Yeah,
to where it, you know, to be able to cope with life and what have we, and. And it's happening, you know, it's happened okay now. Got discharged, is it a year or two later, and back on track, yeah.
What, discharge of bankruptcy status?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think that was a year after the year, I think.
And you just built back up, yeah, that's great, yeah.
Yeah, But that was only the hardest bit was really, I didn't like doing it in the first place, but
no,
the judge said you'd done the right thing and start your life again and...
Yeah,
you know, and start again.
Well, it sounds like it was the right thing to do from what you've told us so far, and it's good to hear that. Yeah, you're doing good again. And I remember you told me, I think I can't remember which event it was, but I think you said you must have had like, was it 20 or 30 like lines of AIM stock or something like that in a portfolio at one point?
Yeah, that actually went up to 60. Yeah. But then when I lost 10 of them, it was back down a bit.
Yeah. So what, I mean, that's interesting to me because I've never had more than, oh, blimey, probably not even four, you know, lines of stock, four or five.
Yes.
And it's interesting that you said that you put, you know, 17 grand in tower, and that sounds like you almost went heavy, really heavy into that one stock, which, you know, people always say it's a bit risky. You shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. So did you then adapt and basically spread your eggs around quite a lot? And that's why you ended up with so many different lines of stock.
I did. And I also bought probably at the end of the cycle. I didn't realize there were cycles in them days. I was a complete novice, and I didn't know about the life cycles of a mine, you know, minerals discovery or oil discovery. And then when I came to that shared evening, when I met yourself and other people and spoke to other investors, they sort of spoke to me about how many shares I had in my portfolio. And they said, oh, it's too many. And you got to concentrate on less than 10, really, sort of that sort of attitude.
Okay.
And so then... I was stuck with these shares because I couldn't sell them. They weren't worth anything. There was quite a few down 90-odd%. And then I started being a bit more careful.
Okay.
And took advice off people. And that particular night, I enjoyed meeting the chief executives, directors, chairman, and the other investors. And they all helped me, and I've been fairly pleased about that. And I kept a lot of them as friends on Twitter groups and things like that, you know. So then I started again from scratch. And because of that evening was a bit of a fiasco with the Metal Tiger thing. I put quite a bit of money into Metal Tiger. Because I believed in, you know, when we met Jack and Julian from MOD Resources, who were doing the Botswana drilling, listened to what they said, and I thought this could be the start of something good. And I, that's my largest holding.
Okay.
And I put quite a bit into them, and it went well, didn't it, for a while. It's still going well now. I'm still well up on them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I should have sold. Again, I held on too soon, too long.
Yeah.
And should have sold and took some profit. So, but I've learned since, and that's one thing I do now. So, when there's a profit there, I take it out and take out what I put in.
Yeah, exactly. That's always it's a good strategy. And, and you're right about the investor events as well. I mean, that first one that I went to in 16 was that it completely changed my my investing career, if you want to call it a career. Well, it's not a career, but you know, my investing life. Really, really invaluable to meet fellow investors and to meet the CEOs and talk to them. It completely changed. Yeah, not just my investing life, but my actual life, you know.
And
hopefully we'll get back to those, you know, those days when those events can happen again, when this this weird
world
that's going around disappears. Oh,
yeah. And you disappeared there, Max, are they?
Yeah, when the coronavirus disappears, hopefully we can get back to those events. So now you say you understand the sort of the mining cycle. I mean, how sort of what's in your portfolio now? How sort of balanced are you in different sectors?
Right. Well, I've got Metal Tiger, who obviously they've just announced today, didn't they, that they've got a Chilean copper investments. They've got some good investments, I think, especially with Sandfire and the net smelter royalties. So I've still kept with them. I was very fortunate that I bought into Greatland Gold at 0.3 of a penny.
0.3? Okay.
Yeah.
And now it's, heck, yeah.
We've got a rise there of 9,500%.
Yeah.
So I've not had that happen to me before.
Have you held all your shares all the way?
No, I did sell some of them.
Yeah. Right.
Good question. I did sell some, but I've still got some, you know.
Yeah,
my good lady's got some as well, Alex. She's got some. I was lucky enough to buy into Eurasia.
Good.
At 0.55 a penny. They're now about 40 pence a day.
Yeah.
So that's 6,800%.
Two stellar stocks there, definitely.
Yeah. So they've pulled me out of it a bit.
Good.
I've got Braveheart Investments. And this week they've just announced a 42.75 pence special dividend for the deal they did with selling RMS. So I'm doing well on them. I bought into COVID.
Okay.
Not to make monetary gains, to help the population as it was. But in the meantime, I bought Novacyt.
Yep, okay.
44.9 pence in January, and sold them in April. Well, sold some of them in April for £4.03.
Gosh,
the price today I think is £7.51, but they did hit £11. I've kept some of them. I bought Amiga Diagnostics. They're a COVID.
Yeah,
but I think they'll be okay. But again, it's knowing when to sell them, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. They're the ones who do the test, aren't they?
Yes. The antibody test.
Yeah, the antibody test. Yeah.
Well, I must admit, I've not bought a single COVID stock at all during this. I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
It's nothing about the companies or anything like that, but I don't know. I think kind of some of these bubbles come and go. I'm not saying it's a bubble, but. There's quite a few people that have put absolute everything into COVID.
You have to be careful.
You've seen what happened in Vaccine Monday, and I know quite a few of the stocks have recovered.
Back to
sort of existing levels, but and there's nothing you can do because the market makers are just rip pish, so they'll want a better term, and they'll just, they'll be Man, they don't care. So
I mean, a lot of money has been made in COVID stocks, absolutely, no doubt about it, but you can't get carried away, you know.
Yeah.
It's been great for the market because that money's sloshed around and it's went to, you know, different sectors, tech, you know, mining sector's quite buoyant now. Yeah. So there's been a lot of money made and a lot of it has filtered into different sectors. So it's been good for the markets. But no, just personally, it's something I've not been able to do. And plenty of people have told me about it and pointed stuff out and I've not disagreed with it, but I just...
Yeah,
I don't know. It's maybe just too far out of my comfort zone. I'm just moving out of mining sector and into a bit of oil and gas and a bit of tech as well. So, yeah, maybe if it was here to stay, and it might be here to stay, who knows?
This is lucky that I learned what I did when I did with the shared events and what have we, because I've now, with the COVID stocks, I'm now, as they say, in a free ride with them all. So I've taken profit and I'm in for nothing. So
that's good.
That's a lot better than my performance was before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm also I've sort of diversified, gone into a few pharma companies, you know, pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. One called Advanced Medical Solutions, AMS, the ticker on that one.
Okay.
It's based in Winsford in the UK, and it develops and manufactures wound care and surgical products.
Okay.
They've got quite a few patents filed and for several products, and they recently bought three companies over the last year.
Okay.
They're cash happy, and
I'm
doing quite well on them. I bought them at 121 and they're now 241.
Great. Yeah. And what, you know, you've said there's some serious gains you're having there. What do you do? Do you wait until it's 100% and then take your original money out, or does it just depend how your cash situation is, you know, in any given time, or do you buy into the longer term story? It doesn't sound, you're certainly not a trader.
No, I'm not a trader, but what I just realized that once they've made 50, 75, 100%, then offload some rather than before. I'd be greedy and hang on.
And hang on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So now I tend to just weigh up each situation. It's like with Novacyt, I sold at £4.03 and then it went up to £11. So
yeah,
I slipped up really, but I did keep some because I'm on a free ride. But I've learned not to be too greedy. I think
that's what a lot of people struggle with, isn't it? Wanting to hold on to it, but you should never, you know, you should never look back at what you could have won. You know, as that old TV show used to say, you know, because you go mad. But you know, equally, you can look at what you could have lost, but you're not going to look at that, are you? You only look at what you could have actually had if you sold too early. But
exactly.
But I think your strategy is absolutely spot on there. You know, that's really steady. You're getting decent gains. I mean, you're saying 50, 75, 100%. That's fantastic in itself. And you're de-risking it. And then, you know, you're letting it either do phenomenally well, which a lot of these stocks go and do, or maybe it doesn't, you know. But either way, you know, you've got your money to move into something else and you're building up you're always getting into different companies. And I diversified recently as well. I bought my first pharmaceutical recently, Destiny Pharma, which quite like the look of. They're into MRSA, treatment in phase 3 trials, and that should be getting some results from that early in the new year. It's my first pharma. It's not really, I like it because it's not really, it's sort of a bit under the radar, it seems to be at the moment.
They're not as volatile as the mining and oil shares, are they?
Well, they don't seem to be. mining stocks are typically volatile.
I've recently bought into Tiziana Life Sciences as well.
Okay, I haven't heard of that.
Sales.
Okay.
Yeah, they're dual listed, aren't they? Over on the...
That's it.
In America. New York Stock Exchange, is that right? I can't remember what exchange it.
NASDAQ, is it? Yeah,
it'd be the NASDAQ.
They've got some good products coming out and treatments, and they've just done they had a product called Stem Printer, and they've demerged that product into its own company, and that's going to happen before Christmas. That'll probably be on the main market.
Okay,
all right. So it's a spin-off
Yeah, a spin-off, yeah. And they've got four or five products that could go the same way. The spin-off they've done has just been tested in America, and they've a lot better than the world's best at the moment. And a firm, I'm trying to think of the call to as we're talking. There's a firm paid $2.8 billion, I think it was, for the company, Exact Sciences. Another firm paid $2.8 billion for them. So I don't know what the stem print is going to be worth when that comes on the main market.
Mm-hmm. Right, there's another one for you to go and look at, Max, if you're into your pharma. Yeah. Again, that's another sector that I'm not really dabbled in either. So, I don't know. I'm sounding a bit boring, but no, I don't know. I've just never really dabbled in it at all.
I'm getting to the age where I need treatment, so I'll make sure they're there.
I suppose. Do you take part in any placements or IPOs, Phil?
No. I've done some IPOs, but I haven't done placements and things like that. All my dealings are mainly in the SIP and the ISA, and to be honest, I didn't know you could do them in a SIP.
Yeah, well, we had this conversation before we started recording. Yeah. I mean, I remember 29 or something like that, 2009. And I'm about to have that conversation with Hargreaves again because I've managed to build my SIP back up to a reasonable position and see if it is feasible. I don't see why not at the end of the day, as long as the placing shares are going back into the SIP, it's just a pool of money at the end of the day. But Hargreaves being Hargreaves, it'll begin through to the right person that can actually tell me. But I'm going to investigate that myself because it's like I say, it's a pot of money that I could be utilising better rather than just trying to trade it or make a few long term investments. But I'm a bit like you, Phil. I'm a wee bit older than Mark, so. I can get access to my SIP in 7 years, so it sounds a long way off, but it's not really. So if I can do 3 or 4 times what the portfolio is worth from the SIP at the moment by the time I'm 55, that'd be great, because obviously I can get 25% of that tax free, unless they change the rules before then. Who knows?
Yeah. They probably will before I take mine. Yeah,
probably. So how many lines of stock do you hold today, then, Phil?
Right.
Do you know offhand?
Yes, yeah. Probably.
Well, just an estimate.
Probably 50.
Okay, right. So it has reduced a little bit.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so you run all these stocks out of one broker account or one.
Hargreaves Lansdowne,
yeah.
I don't, obviously, the dormant in buying and selling at the moment, but they're still on the list and they're still active. They're hoping this super cycle that's coming for minerals will change things.
Why, is it a bit weighted in the exploration stage?
Very much so.
They've got
firms like Pembridge.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, I was going to ask you, do you have a plan to liquidate any of these guys? That's a lot, but you may as well if it's heavily weighted in exploration and...
The
swing is perhaps coming, which is overdue. Then, you may as well wait and see. But I guess one day you'll have to liquidate it.
I think I was buying while everyone was top slicing.
Maybe. Well, probably me and you at the same time. Back in 2013, 2014. Yeah. But you live and learn.
Exactly.
And Dan, what? How do you research the stocks you buy then? I mean,
my fiance is a share widow. I'm constantly on my phone reading up.
She's not the only one, I'm sure.
all the time, and wake up in the night to look at what's going on in Australia. And
oh, gosh.
Just keep my eye on everything where I can. But
are you on the board? Are you in any sort of groups or on chat boards? Do you get stuff from there?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter groups. I'm on the Metal Tiger one's very good and very. There's always people up all hours watching.
Yeah, okay.
Advising and putting that helps you a lot when you don't notice something and someone puts something on. But I don't tend to do anything on LSE anymore.
Okay.
I might do the odd comment, but I think I've learned there. There's some sharks on there, isn't there?
Oh, aye. Yeah.
LSE is funny. Some stocks are absolute dead, and then you pop onto some of them, and they're like, you know, hundreds of comments and a particular stock each day. It's actually, I'd use it as a kind of a guide. If you wake up, and I always remember it, it was Regency Mines. I woke up one morning and overnight alone there'd been 640 comments just in Regency Mines. And I was like, I can't even remember what it was. It wasn't news or nothing. It was just something that started off and that was a bumper day. I think it went up about 150%. It seems to be like a, it's almost like a, you know, as if the fires have been lit on top of the mountains when you see that amount of chatter. I mean, you can get loads of chatter in the Telegram rooms, but it doesn't really mean that the stock's going to go in an absolute bender. But for some reason, LSE seems to be the initial spark sometimes for certain stocks. But no, I try and visit them all. Maybe not so much ADVFN as I used to, but it's. I don't think it's as, people use that more for the information now.
It can be like a barometer sometimes. You see different comments and you think if they're bad, nasty bad comments, you know something's about to happen and the rampers are on and it's quite interesting to see what comes out of it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, there's never a dull moment in the game. Every day's a school day and it'll continue to be a school day. Nothing surprises me anymore. So
is it mostly, do you have any blue chip stuff, Phil, or not?
Any what, sorry?
Like blue chip stuff, off AIM.
Anything sensible, you're in.
Yeah, like anything sensible, yeah.
No. I've got some techs, but not
right,
really.
Right, okay, yeah.
Not really that.
Not
sort
Rolls
of thing,
Royce but. And British Telecoms.
No. I've got nothing like that.
No, right.
I've got nothing that pays dividends, I don't think.
No,
either.
Okay.
Apart from Braveheart, I've done that special dividend, so. Mm.
Yeah. You can still get that dividend, can't you, up till the 11th of December or something?
That's it, yeah, the 11th of December, yeah. But I don't know what will happen on the 11th of December. It'll be...
Arsenal fall out, it probably.
Yeah. Everyone's got to sell quick now. I've got my money,
But there we go. Good stuff. So what does the future hold then for you then, Phil? What's your plans?
I'm looking forward to this super cycle because I think it's going to build up quite nicely now, isn't it, the minerals?
Mm-hmm.
Especially copper with the electrification and the rare earth minerals. And hopefully sell some shares when they make me a decent profit.
Yeah. What about retiring? You're quite happy to keep working away? I know you said you were 58, which is still young. I mean, I actually meant to say earlier on when you said the other guy in the building site is 78. So about 15 years ago, I took my redundancy from Compaq Computers. The plant was shutting down, so it was just one of these things. And I ended up taking the first job that I applied for after that. And I was in electronics, so it was electronics related. But the guy who had founded this company was still working there, and he was 94. And he worked 7 days a week. This is no lie, 7 days a week. And then he would bugger off to Tenerife for like, half 3 months when it was cold, and then it would come back, do the same again, and then bugger off to Tenerife. I would like to think he's dead now because that was about 15 years ago, but stranger things have happened. But it was just relentless, and obviously his son kind of ran the company in the background, and the father had his own wee section, he'd done his own thing. But no, he was just an amazing guy, and he always had time for you, and you think, 94 years old.
He's probably still working away while we're talking.
It just been institutionalised, and it's probably scared to stop working in case he dropped dead, because a lot of people do. You know, that's the thing. I remember I had a neighbour that retired, which I think was council, so let's say retired at 65 or whatever. He's dead 6 months later. A perfectly healthy guy, and and obviously I played a lot of bowls when I was younger, so the bowling green as well. You know, a lot older guys there, and you would see it all the time. You know, guys that retired and they were dead within a year, and you're like,
nearly happened to me last in July. I had a heart attack in July. Yeah. I was digging away in Ballowin on the job. And I thought, that's a bit painful in my chest about 9 o'clock in the morning. By 1:30 in the afternoon after my dinner, it got unbearable. So I went to go to hospital and that was it. I had to ring for an ambulance. I had a blood clot in my heart.
All right. Not good. Yeah. Did you end up with a bypass or was that?
To be fair to them, they took me into a specialist unit 30 minutes away, waiting for me, put me on the slab and put a stent in. And I'm just on the medication now, you know, and trying to get back to fitness now. Yeah.
Well,
all good now. Yeah,
good stuff.
So it can happen to anyone at any time, you know.
Yeah, I know. Like I say, Mark's a bit younger than us, but, you know, I'm late 40s now, so yeah, that's probably why I'm off the booze and try to lose a bit of weight, because since I've left my full time job, I've just sat in front of this laptop and put weight on. Yeah. I mean, I still try and get out and I still run the boys' football team, so there's a bit of But I used to cycle to work most days, I don't do that anymore. So,
that's the reason I was 3 minutes late to the podcast today. I went for a bike ride because I needed to get out into my exercise.
You didn't want to end up like me and Kenny. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then I got talking to someone on the way in.
He's waited for an excuse all this interview, isn't it? This chat, not interview.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's quite good time. That's probably about sort of 40 minutes, Phil. Yep. So that's a perfect length. I think we'll maybe draw a line under it there, and it'd be good to have you back on again at some point.
Yeah.
Be interested to see where you sell out your Greatland Gold and your Asia, the way things are going, if an offer comes in. So
you might
have to do that, but it won't be a bad thing.
I think that'll be a good one, that, won't it? Hopefully.
Mm.
On both of them, so, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
But then, and all the best to you two on your investments.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but look, it's been really good to catch up, because it's been a few years, hasn't it, since we saw each other.
Was it 2016, and then I saw you at Walsall, I think?
It was Manchester, I think, wasn't it?
Manchester. Yeah, you did a video, didn't you?
I think it was Manchester, yeah. So hopefully we see everyone in person in there.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
At some point, yeah, it'd be nice to get back to those days. But thanks, Phil. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on and listening to me.
No,
not a problem.
Yeah, great.
Checks in the post.
Next time I see you, I'll try and be sober, Phil, and I'll try and remember 100% of the conversation.
Well, that is usually me, Kenny, but that time I drove, because I took Rodri in, and I'm now on 14 units a week so of alcohol.
Yeah.
Because of me tablets
just,
and stuff.
Just watching this. Yeah. Yeah, listen, I can only do it on and off. I can't do it in between.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of way. It's either full on or full off the booze. So
yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
if somebody says to me, "Do you want to get it for 2 pints?" That my answer is like, second word's off. I'm not going out for two, because it's just not worth me getting my makeup and getting all dressed up for that. 2 pints. Yeah. 2 pints is gone in the first 15 minutes. First pint's gone in a minute.
Yeah. I said to the heart surgeon, I said, 14 units goes in the first half hour on a Friday when I get home from work. And he said, "Oh, well, it's your choice, isn't it?" He said,
it's, you know, maybe it's a middle-aged thing. You kind of, it just slips down too easy. It went down easier when I was younger as well, but I don't know, I seem to have more capacity these days. Maybe it's my size. Maybe when I lose a bit of weight, I'm going to adjust my drinking habits.
What about Mark? What are you like, Mark? You having a drink tonight?
Oh, probably. It's Friday, isn't it? Yeah.
So what's your tipple?
Well, you see, I'm living in the Netherlands now, so...
Are you?
Yeah, I moved maybe three months.
It just is cookies now. So it does,
and Heineken.
The cat.
Yeah, so...
No wonder we haven't seen you. Yeah,
that's why he was late.
Right, yeah.
Climbing up one of the dikes to get a signal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll have a Heineken probably. I have a crate to finish off that I bought when we first arrived. So,
oh, right.
I'll get the Heineken done, then I don't know what else to drink. I don't know. It's, when you go in the shops, it's just full of Heineken. So I don't
know. Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so, but it's all right, Heineken. I mean, it's fine, isn't it? It's fine.
Hey, on that note, remember, I'm not drinking, so you're making me jealous. So we're going to stop talking about it now. But
yeah. Yeah. Okay, then, that's fair enough.
Yeah, appreciate your time, Phil.
Thanks for having me on, and love to speak to you soon.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, look forward to that. Yeah.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Tune in next time.